Merry Christmas. Let me add my welcome to what you've already heard. So glad that you are here, that you've chosen to make the celebration here of the birth of Christ part of the Christmas tradition on this season for you. I can honestly say you've never looked so blue. So if you find yourself squinting, it's not just you. It is the cool glacier blue lights. Yeah, pretty cool. So we're glad that you are here. Thanks a lot for joining us. This year will be my 49th Christmas. And depending on your perspective, that's either like you're so old or you're just getting going, whippersnapper. So it all depends on your perspective. I'm kind of like right in the middle. But I remember so many great Christmas memories. And I just love that time, Christmas morning, you know, tomorrow morning, maybe in many of your homes. Kids are all excited. You can't wait to open presents and you're sitting around. And I love those moments. I have so many great memories of sitting around with my family and opening those gifts. And in our house, it was always one at a time, and everyone had to be patient and watch and work through the process. And that gift opening was actually started the night before, started on Christmas Eve when we were able to open one present. And it was always something I didn't want, like socks or underwear. I'm telling you. And I'm pretty sure my parents did that on purpose, just to see what we would say. But there's one thing that I despise about gift opening, that tradition, and all those memories that I have. One thing that I really despise. You see, in our house, as soon as we got done opening all of our gifts, we had to try on and show Mom any clothes that we got. You remember that? Now, just imagine with me. New toys, cool cardboard boxes to play with, right? Games, brothers and sisters' gifts to try to steal when they're not looking. All kinds of fun that all had to stop and wait so I could try on my church clothes. Remember church clothes? Church clothes were like the bane of Christmas morning. I had to try on my church clothes. I hated those moments. And so when I would open up the present and it was like, a shirt for church, it was like, oh, I know what that means. I'm going to have to try it on, walk down in front of Mom. She's going to pull on the waist, check the butt, check the length, all of that, where I'm like, all right, Mom, it's fine. And then she would say, and go get the next one. Oh, it was terrible. Until I was finally released to actually go and play with the cardboard boxes. I despise that, but every year, that's what happens. So when I became a parent and it was my turn to buy church clothes and my kids open it up, guess what I made them do? You got to try it on before you can play with any of your stuff. It's like how parents are sadistic with their children. It's just one of the great pleasures of parenting. It's really great. So obviously I had very difficult Christmas mornings, and maybe you have some of those kinds of stories as well. But certainly none of us had to deal with the kinds of things that Jesus had to deal with in his first days and months of his life. He was born in a stable. I was born in a hospital. He was laid in a manger. I was laid in a nursery under a heating lamp. He had midnight visitors. My dad wasn't even allowed in the room back in those days. Jesus had people trying to kill him. Nobody wanted to kill me except my brother. That doesn't count, right? So for Jesus, certainly he had it hard from day one. He had all kinds of things that he had to deal with. But in spite of all of his difficulties, for 2,000 years, people have been looking to him. They've been mesmerized by the stories. And even though we've heard the stories, you know, 49 times for me, some of you more, some of you less, there's something in the story. There's something in the tradition that is beyond just a baby in a manger. And as that song just said, there are so many of us that have made room for Jesus. And as we've made room for Jesus in our life, in our hearts, in our homes, in our jobs, in every part of who we are, it means that we come to Christmas and there's content. There's like something more to the story than just a baby in a manger, just shepherds and wise men. Something more than just gifts. There's something more because Jesus is there. And because he is there, he makes all the difference in the world. And if we're honest, A lot of our lives can be defined not by the mundane of the day-to-day, but by the difficulties along the way. And many of us have gone through very difficult things. Some of you are going through very difficult things right now. There's pain and there's difficulty. And even though we sing about the greatest time of the year, Christmas, for a lot of people, it is not the greatest time of the year, both for what they're going through this year, as well as pain in their past that they associate with Christmas. But for those of us who have found Jesus, it feels as if Jesus, the light of the world, that light has shined right down through the pain and the darkness and the difficulties of my life and has made a real, tangible change in me and in many of you. Not a superficial, not just a pretend, not just another mask, not just a religion, but a real life change. And so when we think about Christmas, so many of us, we remember how we used to be. And we compare that to how we are now. And there's been a massive change. So much so that if you knew us 20 years ago and you knew us, know us today, you would say, I'm not sure it's the same person. Jesus has changed us. And not in the fake way, in the real way. And maybe you think that I'm just kind of, you know, doing religious talk. I'm supposed to say these kinds of things at church and it is just Christmas. I want you, I challenge you to listen and watch the real stories of how Jesus has changed some of us. So listen and watch. This is how Jesus has changed us from what we were to what we now are. So when we say Jesus changes lives, it's not just religious speak. We really believe that he takes people from one spot, no matter how low, no matter how hurting, no matter the burden, no matter the difficult, and takes us to a different spot. He changes us. And again, it's not just religious, or I'm not supposed to just say this because I'm here on staff or I'm in a church. We really believe it's a real change. But I want to say that he doesn't change us like we change a light bulb on a Christmas strand. And you know what I mean? By that one light bulb on that Christmas strand, that makes the whole strand go out. Now, let me just confess, since I've already confessed that I hate trying on church clothes, there is one more thing about Christmas that I detest even more, and that is hanging up Christmas lights. I can't stand hanging up Christmas lights. Now, I know a lot of you guys, you want to say amen, but your wife won't let you. I just know that's just how it goes. You know what I mean? And so today I was thinking, there are at least 5 good reasons why I detest to hang up Christmas lights. You want to hear them? I don't care if you don't. I'm going to say them anyway. So, number one, I feel like I spend more time untangling the lights than it takes to put up the lights. You know what I mean? They're always like all together. And then you try to unfold them, and then you break the bulb, and then you're like, great, now what do I do? Number two, I have to hang them outside in the cold. And then take them down in the cold. Let's just be honest, you got to do that in the cold. I don't get it. It's kind of like making my bed. What is the point of making my bed? I don't know. I've had this argument with my wife now 26 years. What's the point? You know what she says? So it's pretty. I say, for whom? No, it's only by me who's going to see it. It's not like people are parading through our room all the time. Leave it that way. It's fine. No, got to make the bed. What's the point? What's the point of putting up the Christmas lights just to take them down? And some people put them up like Christmas Eve. I mean, that's really pointless, just from my point of view. Number three, no matter how many strands of Christmas lights we own, we always have to buy one more. Why is that? It's mathematically impossible, but somehow every year, gotta buy one more. Number four, fourth reason. I always seem to run out of lights before I run out of the spot that she wants the lights. Like 2 feet short or 3 feet short, so I think, oh, it's fine. No, it's not fine. It doesn't look right. Whatever that means, who cares? We're taking it down in 2 weeks. And of course, the worst part about hanging up Christmas lights is when you plug in the strand and nothing happens. And then my wife says something like, well, just check every bulb. You've done this, perhaps. You check every bulb. You pull out the first one. Go to the next one, you pull it out. And you have like one good one that you're trying every time. And then you go down the strand about halfway through and you find that one that's either missing or broken. You're like, yes, you pull it out, put the new one in. What happens? Nothing. And then you drive to the store to buy the Christmas light strand yet again. That's what happens. Happens every year. So I can't stand hanging up Christmas lights. But as I was thinking about that, I realized I think there are a lot of people that come to Jesus like I approach a Christmas light strand. And what I mean by that is they come to Jesus and they say, Jesus, I have a problem. I'm not sure exactly where it is. I know I have this pain. I know I have this difficulty. I have this thing that I'm going through. And I want you to come help me with that one thing. Help me with this one thing. And sometimes he does come help with that one thing. And it's like you put the new light in and Jesus helps you with that one thing. And then what do? We put him away. Put him in the box. Put him back in the storage room to be pulled out next year again. And then people say things, well, you know, I gave Jesus a try and it just didn't work for me. And I think that's because so many just want to pull Jesus out of the box when we need him and then put him back when we're done with him. And we wonder why it doesn't work that way. And we wonder why there's nothing in that. And I want to tell you why there's nothing in that. Because Jesus doesn't want to just fix the pain, doesn't want to fix the hang-up. He wants all of you. He wants all of you. He wants relationship. He wants companionship. He wants friendship. He wants the whole thing. And he's very discontent with this, I'm going to use you when I need you, and then I'm going to toss you away when I'm done. He doesn't want any part of that. You see, sometimes we don't get what we ask for. That's true around Christmas, but it's also true at other times. But in the Christmas story, we see this funny little truth play out. And you know the story. You heard Matt read the story a few minutes ago. Mary and Joseph, they're in Nazareth, which is on the north side of Israel. They have to travel to Judea, which is in the southern part of Israel, because there's a census going on, and evidently you had to appear in person. So they travel. And Mary's great with child. She's the yonder round virgin that we sing about. And as they're traveling along, one part of the story that we have to realize is true, they're traveling down roads, and everyone else is traveling the same roads. Some are going north to south, some are going south to north, some are going east to west. People are just all over. There's like traffic jams on the road. You got to believe that somewhere along the way, Joseph stopped and said to Mary, Mary, we need to pray that someone will make room for us. And then they travel a little bit more, and there's the next traffic jam, and everybody's fighting over who can go where, and Joseph's like, oh, Mary, look at all the people. I don't know if there's going to be any room for us at all. And then they crest the hill, and there's Bethlehem there, a little small, sleepy city. But now, in the moment, with tents all the way around the outside and the bustle of people, and Joseph's heart sinks again, and he thinks, Lord, please, make room, just one room, for us, somewhere there. They go on into Bethlehem. And, of course, we don't know how it happened exactly. Maybe they went door to door. Maybe they went inn to inn. Maybe there was some prearrangement that we don't know about. But at last, they came to that proverbial Christmas story final place, and there was no room at all. And that innkeeper offers the stable. And I wonder if Joseph thought, Lord, that's not what I prayed for. That's not what I asked you for in the travel from the north to the south. I wanted a room. Lord, didn't you know that Mary's pregnant? And now what? She's going to give birth in a stable? I asked for a room and you give me a manger? How can that be? And I think that's what happens sometimes when people turn to Jesus. And I think what happens is it's the grief, it's the issue, it's the difficulty, it's that pain, it's that moment, it's that season that draws us to Jesus. And we pray about that one thing, and we want help for that one thing, and we just want to make it through that one thing. And Jesus wants so much more. And when we give in to Jesus and we embrace the friendship and we embrace the companionship, not only does he fix that pain, he fixes that difficulty, he helps us through and walks with us, but he gives us so much more than we ask for. We ask for this little thing, and he gives us this much. That's what happens when you really turn to Jesus. And of course, the greatest thing in all of this is that we only wanted relief from that pain, and instead he gives us joy to the world. He gives us peace on earth. And the best part of all of this, he gives us Emmanuel, God with us. It's so interesting how we ask for that one thing, and instead we get something different. And the different is so much better. So listen, as you come to this Christmas season and as you're joining us tonight, let me just ask, have you treated Jesus like that Christmas light strand to be used and thrown away, or at least put in the box? Fix my problem, I'm going to pull you out, Jesus, when I have a difficulty, when I have a problem. I want you to do your thing, and then I'm going to put you away again. Jesus wants so much more than that. And you're missing out on all that it could be, on all that he could be to you by shortchanging the whole thing with just that one little thing that you're praying for when Jesus wants to give so much more. So have you made room for Jesus? Maybe beyond just a little bit of space around this Christmas season and just a little bit of time over the holidays, but have you made room for Jesus in your life, in your heart? Have you allowed him in and given him space? And if you haven't, I think you know it. I think you can look in your heart and realize that there is no peace there. There's only struggle. Maybe you're only here because mom wanted you to come. My Christmas gift, I've heard people say this, my Christmas gift is to have my kids go to church with me. And maybe that's why you're here. And that's fine, we're glad you're here. But you know in your heart that there is no peace. You know in your heart that even the times that you've played around with religion, you're just going through the motion. You're just trying to use Jesus to get a little bit ahead, a little bit better life. But you've never surrendered to him. And I want you to know that as long as you dangle around, playing around with Jesus, you're never going to realize all that he has to offer to you and all that that relationship can be and how that friendship can literally change your life. Not just help you over the moment, but change your life. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, or if you're struggling through, I want you to know that we can't help you at all. Jesus can. And we would sure like to show you how that works and how you can know that Jesus is your Savior, how you can know this peace on earth that we sing about and the Bible talks about. But for you, it's been so elusive. We'd like to show you. In a few minutes, the three pastors, we're going to come up here and we're going to light some candles and we're going to light candles for all of you. And so you're going to be able to see who we are in case you don't know us. If after the service you want to talk, we would love to show you what the Bible says. What better gift on Christmas Eve could you receive or get than the gift of salvation? We would love to show you. And if tonight doesn't work, that's fine. Make an appointment. Let's sit and talk and let's work through this. So in a few minutes, we're going to light those candles and you'll see who we are. By the way, kids, as we light those candles, that's a great time to break those glow sticks and start, you know, doing this. You know, hit your dad in the head a few times on the way by. It just makes it that much better. But listen, back to the point. Stop playing around with Jesus. And when you're ready to stop playing around, please come talk to us so we can show you what the Bible says and how you can have peace on earth.